And I was waiting at that screen where it says, you know, join the, join with video or join with audio. And I was just looking at it going, oh, I can't wait for someone to let me in. Like I haven't used Zoom before.
It's a Sunday morning. So are we, format wise, are we going to do the same thing that we used to do? Like 15 minutes of shooting the shit, half hour about the show, and then whatever.
I didn't know there was a format.
To the Darmalars, there very much was a format. That's why I was asking about are we going to do calls or not, like, because used to be the last 15 minutes of that.
That takes too much work.
Whatever.
That takes too much work.
Can you hear me okay? Am I coming in? Am I coming in clear?
Ryan.
Yes.
Can you do me a favor?
Yes.
Would you be able to record the audio from this conversation?
Let me...
Or I mean, does the Zoom have the recording? Like, can you just do the?
Oh yeah. I technically don't think I'm the host right now, but let me do that. And is that how the show is going to be processed, or is it a backup?
It's a backup.
Okay. Yeah.
Because the last time we recorded, something happened, and I thought I lost the audio.
I thought I lost you.
So,
all right.
Just in case. And then now, have you seen this new thing on Zoom when you hit record?
No.
Like, everyone in the room has to either accept the recording or leave. And it's super terrifying because it's a robot voice.
Oh, wow.
But I think it's because, obviously, someone was recording something. I'm assuming that...
Now I'm going to record something, so hold on. Record to this on this computer?
This meeting is being recorded.
It's a scary voice.
It is a scary voice.
Like, it couldn't be just like, they couldn't record a person saying it.
No, they had to use like an older version of a computer text.
But I also don't think that there's like a speech synthesis program in Zoom. So they do, it's like, they went out of their way not to record a person to record Siri doing it.
The one thing that they need.
It sounds like they got it from a number station. It's very really freaky. So. I hate it. And it's jarring too because it starts talking right as the thing pops up.
So it's a double whammy of you being assaulted.
I have this problem with Stevie, and I was at a folks house last week, and my father-in-law has the same problem with my mother-in-law. When they come into a room to start a conversation, they start talking right as they become visible.
Right.
And so
there's no checking to see like if you're in the middle of a sentence or
every time. So this stupid Zoom thing just goes and I'm like, what the fuck?
That's funny. What's on your hat, dude? Is that a Cactus Cooler hat?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I got it off of Etsy.
That's
because
so cool.
I looked up Cactus Cooler hat, trucker hat. And of course it exists. But it got mailed to me from Whittier. So now I want to contact this person, send them 3 PNGs and just say, can I come pick them up? Like, I'll still pay the full price. Can I come pick them up? Because clearly it's like a new hat. It's not like a vintage hat. So they're making them to order.
But so they have the capability of doing that.
I want a classic Squirt logo.
Oh, nice. Good.
And I want a Fruit Stripe logo for Fruit Stripe gum.
That'd be cool.
I don't know, something else. And I don't know why it has to be 3, but I want more hats.
Comedy rule.
Yeah. That'll be hilarious.
If good one is like, I don't know, Mile Ferraro or...
talking shop here just for a moment, and maybe we can add this out. Ben, you seem to be having network connectivity issues, like Leslie Knope.
Yeah.
Yep, cut off. That's comedy.
Is he frozen for reals?
I think he is frozen for real. No, he's frozen for real. It's like, yes, and here's the details.
Oh,
we lost Ben. Well, as for the Darmalars, I did not watch whatever episode we were going to be talking about today because it's not my job to talk about it.
I had a feeling you wouldn't. You're just going to sit here and listen to us.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of how... That's kind of how the Darmalars were. Like, I don't think I ever really, like, I probably saw 50% of the episodes by the time you guys recorded. But people don't. I'm not the star attraction here, so yeah, I was doing
people
that.
People like your input.
Well, I think that's great. I just it was a matter of scheduling. I literally had no time prior to this.
I was going. I'm back now, and
and you seem clear.
Yeah, I'm using my phone's hotspot. I am not very happy with the internet connectivity at my house lately.
Hmm. Sorry to hear that.
I've called and called.
I actually Frontier? Have plugged in through the Ethernet.
Uh-huh.
That's what I do on the Zoom calls.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's like super secure. Like that, you're going to get best.
Yeah.
As long as the internet coming in is good.
Right.
We've had them replace the modem. We've had them work on the line. They keep telling us that everything's fine, and it's clearly not. It's I don't think it's my mesh. I've got a mesh Wi-Fi thing. I don't think it's my mesh underwear.
Very breathable.
You should tell them, like, the next time they say it's fine, say, come in and try to record a podcast.
try to work all day.
May I take a shot in the dark? Does the name of your service provider rhyme with rectum?
It damn near killed him. It certainly does.
I used to have them too for ages, and it was the same thing where it was the service is fine. It's like, well, no, it's not. I can't do that. We replace the modem. And then I got to the point where it's like, okay, you just need to ping our modem. Like, that's what it takes. This has to happen every like 3 to 5 days. And then there was sometimes you would get the customer service person who would be like, no, I'm not going to do that. It's like, dude, I call every single day. Like, we're going to go through every single troubleshooting thing. Did you try unplugging? It's like, it's every 3 days, dude. Come on. And finally, we ended up getting Verizon. This is like a decade ago. And it was way more expensive and 100% worth it for not to have those calls every 3 to 5 days.
Okay, so we had an internet provider that rhymes with AT&P, and it was the same issue. At least once a week, it would go down, and we have to restart it, and we call. It says it's fine, and they sent us, like, modem after modem, a router, or whatever. So then we moved over to Rectum, and it was the same thing. Like, it cost a little bit more, but it works really well. Is it some sort of racket? Are they just taking turns? Like, if you could just rotate the people, we all get a bit of the pie.
That's interesting. That would be really funny. Not funny to me, I guess, as the user.
It's your turn to get AT&T.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I didn't know that. Maybe I'm showing my ignorance or my age here, but I didn't know that we had choices. I know I remember coming up from when it was like a monopoly, like there's one game in town. So
yeah,
maybe I'll look into that. Like I could see doing some competition.
That's good. Well, I know that this is a non-sponsored podcast and always has been and always will because we don't monetize, but I've had Frontier, which is Fios, which is not Verizon, but it's also Fios, and I've not had a lick of issues here. It's been great.
Well, that's great. That's good.
Like, Hannah will be on her school thing. I'll be doing work stuff. We'll be listening to Sirius FM. I just leave the internet running in the other room sometimes just to, because you can. and
spilling out data.
Spilling out all over the place. Well, you know, it has the overflow, so it's fine. But yeah, never a lick of issues with that. So
that's highly enviable.
Yes.
Yeah. I used to have to upload videos to YouTube while I went to sleep.
I remember YouTube.
Oh, like do it overnight?
Yeah. Just because it would knock out the internet and then take like 3 hours. And so I'd wake up and I'd be like, I hope it's up. Nope. I'll do it again tonight.
Because while you're not looking, it could have gone to like 50% and crapped out. I'm sure you learned how to tell your computer not to go to sleep. Because I've had that problem before.
Well, yeah, it would be turn the brightness all the way down on the computer monitor and then drape pants over the computer.
Good night, computer. It's nighttime for you now. Like a canary.
But it also prevented Apple from seeing me sleep, so that's good.
That must have pissed them off. They're like, something awful.
Oh, no, not Ralph. No.
I wanted to see that. It was the season finale.
Go home, everybody. The big old Apple Auditorium. Not tonight, folks.
Not just like one person, but like they got a team. They're showing it off.
They're working in shifts.
Tonight, Ralph's Sleeping is sponsored by Tropicana.
Cactus Cooler.
Get Cactus Cooler.
So, yeah, this is the Darmalars podcast.
It certainly is.
It used to be a Lost podcast. Now we're talking about Sweet Tooth.
Yep. We lost the Lost.
Yeah. There's been no Lost for like 10 years. And so, Ben said, hey, I read this book and I had heard of the book, but hadn't read the book, and the show popped up and we're like, let's do it. It's only 8 episodes. It's much easier than Lost.
It's a smaller hill to climb. Right. And you know what? I'm glad that we did, because it's fun to get together and chat. And also, based on the first episode, I'm looking forward to the series.
Do you only watch the first episode?
I only watched the first episode.
I kind of felt bad because we haven't really done a binge-worthy or a binge show, like a show that gets released all at once.
Yeah.
It makes it weird because
it's a whole different thing.
Yeah, because people can be ahead of us. So if I have a theory about something, they can
laugh at you.
What an idiot.
I can't believe how wrong he is. Yeah, but, I don't have anything against the binge dropping of shows. Mm. I know there's people that do have a complaint about that. But, you know, it's also okay to not watch it all in a row and take your time.
Right.
But I do think it's interesting the way, you know, when companies go the other way with it, like Disney Plus with Falcon and the Winter Soldier and WandaVision. And I missed Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I haven't watched that yet. But I did watch WandaVision, and I watched it, you know, week to week. And it was exciting. Like, hey, it's Friday. It's WandaVision day.
W-E-A-K. Week to week. It got
week
worse.
Week to week.
No,
oh, you didn't like it, huh?
No, it actually got better as it went along, and then the last episode made me mad.
Falcon or...
Did it make you mad, or did it make you sad?
No, well,
did it make you mad that you were sad that it touched you so much?
It made me mad that the ultimate, like the whole thing was this intricate, you know, story with these, you know, mind bending things, and it just ends with them shooting hand lasers at each other in the CGI sky. And I was just like, oh, okay.
That was a weird looking 10 minutes.
But I liked the Vision versus other Vision. Like, that's the kind of thing I was looking for. Like a discussion on reality and what's right and what's wrong and all that stuff.
The whole Ship of Theseus thing was cool. I get where you're coming from. There's definitely a shift in the series when they stop messing around with the format, when it stops being like, okay, this week it's the 50s, this week it's the 60s.
Right.
And then it becomes, okay, well, enough dicking around. Now we're going to do the thing.
Yeah.
And then it becomes more like a regular MCU movie.
Right. Right. Falcon and Winter Soldier is really good. And I the last episode made me mad.
Mm-hmm.
It really made me mad.
Mad.
But like in a good, like...
Like Michael Jackson
mad. It
made
me mad because... no, but mad because it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they didn't stick a landing, or mad because it's like, oh, I see how they're setting things up, and this has baited me into watching the next
thing. The show was really good about walking that fine line of social commentary without shoving it in your face.
Uh-huh.
And the last episode, they're like, this is what I learned, and shoved it all in your face. And I'm like, come on, guys, like I understood everything, but there's some portions of the population that are dum-dums and need to have...
So they had to dum-dum it down.
...spoon-fed them what I already learned the whole time, because I'm smart.
Well, some people do need to be spoon-fed that sort of stuff.
Should have the skip the speech feature.
There are people who are... For those of you not in the theme park bubble... this past week at Disney California Adventure Park in Anaheim, they opened Avengers Campus.
Yes.
And one of the things that was revealed, that it's the version of Captain America being represented in the land, is Sam.
Yes.
Yeah.
And people who did not get the messages of the social or story-wise, I was watching the live feed and you could see people's comments and people did not. It wasn't even like, well, what timeline are you in? I mean, there are some people like that. And the timeline for the campus is a little bit, it doesn't exactly connect to the MCU. But there are people who did not, who very clearly did not understand the message of why it's important for Sam to be Captain America and that Steve Rogers is one person and Captain America is a title. Like, people 100% did not get it. And we're super racist about it, too.
It reminds
well,
me
that's, on top of it.
It reminds me when they cast Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern. And people who only knew Green Lantern from the Justice League cartoon started saying things like that.
Yeah. Well, at least it was unexpected. At least we couldn't have predicted that people were going to react in that asshole racist way. You know?
You're exactly.
It was a good old surprise.
And the other thing is that just like for pure aesthetics, like he came out and he's wearing the costume as depicted in the series, and it looks awesome. Like yeah. It's really, really cool.
And does he still have his wings? Like, does he get to be like a flying Captain America?
No.
That's dope.
Well,
not
I mean,
the,
in
not the
show,
character.
In the
yeah,
show.
The show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Park.
No. But I think the character has like the pack, like the right. silver little pack on the back.
Yeah, he does.
Like, implying that he could go full wings. I from what I read, and I've seen a lot of cool clips and stuff from Avengers Campus, and it looks really exciting. One thing that I read was that it's more of a, it's not like Galaxy's Edge where it's set in a certain time, like after everything, right? It's set after all the movies.
It's between episode 8 and episode 9, which I believe is sort of being rewritten now. I could be wrong.
That time for the,
yeah.
for the location. Okay. So it's set in a specific time, whereas Avengers Campus is supposed to be like everything, you know, you might see Sam Wilson as Captain America. And at the same time, you might see, I don't know, Hank Pym as Ant-Man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that, not so much that, like it's, there's like a little plaque that kind of, as you enter it, that is an in-story plaque, but kind of like allows them the wiggle room. I'm sure there's people who are more knowledgeable about this than me.
Oh, fuck them.
There are certain. It takes place in a universe that
it's
that
fake?
Where Endgame
it's
Endgame
a fantasy
did not
world
happen.
That we shouldn't take too serious.
Yes.
Oh, it, yes. Okay.
Okay.
But it's like Iron Man is there. Iron Man is not dead. But
I see.
Sam is Captain America.
Spoilers. Well,
yeah, spoilers. Endgame.
So there's some things where it's like, well, that's clearly affected by the events of, you know, Infinity War and Endgame, but it's not in a universe where that happens.
Okay,
apparently
that's fine.
Cool.
I was gonna say Earth 616 for some reason. It's not Earth 616.
Do you see like Scarlet Witch running with books to get to her next class?
She knows she's got a collection of DVDs that she's going to watch with her family. And it's going to impact her in very deep ways.
Quicksilver playing hacky sack by himself in the quad.
Avengers Campus. He's making campus jokes. I get it.
Yeah, that's mine.
I got it. Now I understand.
It took me a while.
I get it.
Dancing bacon.
I went to the drive-in last night and saw Cruella.
Oh, how'd that go?
I like the drive-in.
No double feature, just one movie?
It's Cruella with Cruella, so I actually kind of like getting out early sometime, you know. Mm-hmm. It's nice to go to the drive-in, but I don't always want to have to be driving home at like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
It's like, and especially game. Like in the summer, mm-hmm. where the drive-in's later and later. But I like the movie okay, I have to say. You know, maybe that doesn't reflect well on me, but first of all, it was too much music. It was like maybe you could put a minute in between songs.
Oh, really?
It was just song. I don't necessarily care or understand how it connects to the 101 Dalmatians, because it seems like the character would have to change quite a bit.
Yeah. We leave wiggle room for a sequel to this.
Yes. That would be interstitial, sort of.
99 Dalmatians.
Sorry.
I got 99 Cruellas and a Dalmatian 81. So anyhow, I just wanted to say that I went to the drive-in. Because I like doing that.
I don't know the last time I went to a drive-in. I remember I saw E.T. at a drive-in. It was too dark of a movie to watch on a drive-in, and we never went back.
That's Ralph's complaint. Yeah, I always think about you when I'm at the drive-in when it's a dark scene. It's like, why do movies have so many fucking dark scenes that I can't tell what's going on at the drive-in?
We're so used to 4K.
Yeah.
They did convert that theater. I'm assuming you guys went to Mission Tiki.
Yes.
They did convert that theater to digital.
Yes, but it's still...
It was still dark.
Yeah. But they start the movie a little before, pure blackness is set in. So, do you guys want to get into Sweet Tooth?
Sure.
And here's the music bumper.
Oh, we do that?
Well, we used to. Like, honestly, we did this for so many years, and surprise, this seems so foreign to you. Yeah, we would put, like, little bumpers or something, but we also had people to do that stuff for us. Right.
Well, what people? Ralph.
I know.
No, like, people... Well, didn't some people send us audio and stuff, like little bumpers and... And now stuff is going to happen. You're going to hear it. These guys.
Prepare to be blown.
we would just put like an
to be blown by Ralph.
Sweet can, her sweet can.
It was okay. It was as good as it could be. Or maybe you drop in like combustible Edison, just like a little palate cleanser.
I really fucked up last time by not putting in Tiki Wonder Hour.
Tiki Wonder Hour.
Well, how about this? Every single cue in this episode is going to be Tiki Wonder Hour.
I'll remember that.
To make up for it.
Did I ever tell you guys that I did a Dharma Law's playlist on Spotify?
No.
I put as many songs as I could recognize from the songs that we used on the show. I'll send you the link or something.
Do it.
And maybe we could share that with the broader populace. Yeah, that might be nice.
Yeah, like and subscribe. We
smash that button, dude.
Is there social commentary in Sweet Tooth? Kind of, maybe.
not yet, because there wasn't enough social, you know?
Yeah.
We had the beginning, which was a cool...
Okay, so you read the book. The opening of the show, is it like the book? Or do you think the pandemic helped kind of sway?
I think the pandemic helped how that looked, because now we know how that might look.
Yeah.
And it was a bit... there was a bit of it of me that thought, okay, well, no, I don't want to watch this right now.
Right.
Maybe show me something that's not about a world-ending virus, but
crashing helicopters
which I didn't get. I didn't understand exactly why the helicopter would crash. It wasn't Endgame. It wasn't Infinity War.
They had a twitchy.
Their pinky finger.
Yeah.
It was right on the rotor, on the control for the helicopter rotor. I was thinking about that pinky twitch thing, and I don't know if I could learn to do that if I were an actor.
I think it was CG.
That makes sense, because it also sometimes looked like the pinky was getting longer. their pinky a total lie. I think from what I remember in the book, we just start with Gus.
Got it.
You know, we start with Gus in the woods. It's been a while since I read the book, but the doctor stuff, I think, maybe shows up as a flashback later on. But it was well done. I like this thing, and it's like Dawn of the Dead, the Zack Snyder.
Oh, okay.
Just showing how things are progressing.
It's almost shot similarly.
Yeah, especially with that overhead shot at the end where, like, when Sarah's running with Sarah Pauly. I don't remember her character's name. That was different, but it was cool. And the poor doctor, who apparently was immune, we could say.
I didn't even think of that.
Because he's
wearing a mask throughout. His wife gets the virus, and he just goes and like starts hugging her.
Right.
So
like he doesn't. And when he had his initial consultation with the woman, she coughed into her elbow, which I know we're supposed to do. But in our current sensibilities, I was like, no one's wearing a mask. You're face to face with this sick woman.
Right.
I did want to point out this is going to be dumb, I know, but one of the first lines that the narrator says is, "We have to go back." Yeah. It's like, to tell the story of Gus, we have to go back. And I was like, we have to go back. Lost. It's a thing, like the guy said.
Who is the narrator?
Oh, good question. Ryan, are you having a hard time with the narrator? Because I know that's
I will take care of the doing number crunching on this. You guys can talk.
Okay. Ryan, I don't know if you're here. Ryan did not watch the show.
Oh, okay.
So Ryan's in the dark right now.
So the narrator probably didn't bother him then.
But no, because he didn't watch it. But the other thing I was telling Ralph up front, it's like, when we would do Darmalars, because my viewing schedule was, because the Lost fan in the house was really Aaron at that time. So it was when she would watch it. So sometimes it wouldn't happen by the time you guys recorded. So like literally, I would not know what you guys were talking. So this is all very new to me. Also, I would never read the book before class. Like I'm used to being just woefully unprepared at all times for anything. So this is really where I'm comfortable.
This is your comfort zone. This is where you're at.
But at least with like Darmalars, you knew the characters and stuff. You're going to be totally right. Just listening to like gobbledygook.
Well, I want to say, I don't want to give too much away based on what I'm
losing him again.
So that until we find out that, oh, did you lose me?
Yes.
I've got my hotspot on and everything. That's terrible.
I think when you sat back, we lost you. Does that make sense? That doesn't make sense, right, Ryan?
It doesn't necessarily, but it happened at the same time.
I don't know. Maybe the narrator is someone who we alluded to earlier in this show is Josh Brolin.
Oh,
who's also cool. Thanos.
No, he's not.
What?
This is not Josh Brolin. It sounds like an old man. Is it James Brolin?
Maybe. Hold on.
What I was trying to say is like I don't want to say anything that's like, oh, because I think this happens later on. But obviously there's going to be these hybrids and people are going to have issues with the hybrids.
Right.
Like straight up humans are going to have issues with hybrids.
Right.
And my first thought seeing that scene in the maternity ward, my second thought, because my first thought was, fuck, that's a lot of babies to be born on the same day.
Yeah.
It could be a busy hospital. I don't know. But my second thought was, they're cute. Like,
yeah.
All these little babies. They're just cute little babies. Who's going to have a problem with that? Like,
Maybe the owl one.
The one that has its like wings instead of arms.
Yeah,
yeah. That one's that person might have a hard path to walk in their life, but I still thought they were all just cute little babies.
Yeah, but they can fly.
Up, Ryan confirms it was James Brolin, Thanos' dad.
Ryan muted himself because he doesn't want to apologize for his mistake. He's still muted and he's still talking, and it's great.
It is. It's phenomenal. He's back.
I didn't want to interrupt the show.
Okay.
Sorry. But yeah, he's Thanos' dad, but he's also P.W. Herman, which is really is really the feather in his cap.
Yeah, the role of a lifetime.
His macaroni.
I get it.
Well, but Ryan, okay, listen, part of the show though is when you laugh and when we tell hilarious jokes, you don't want to mute yourself.
Well, yeah, but I also kind of breathe heavy, and I got a fan back here, maybe, you know.
Breathe into the fan.
I'll laugh. I'll just come up with a track for you guys, and you can just hit it when you need to.
Oh, perfect. That takes a lot of pressure off.
Yeah, that frees up an hour for me too. So, thanks.
All right. So I don't know. I mean, potentially whoever's listening is probably watching the show. So it's not about summing it up so much as it's just like our different insights and what we have to say about it.
Right.
Makes sense.
Right. Now, coming from a standpoint of someone who's read the book, how close is it to the book as far as
I want to say, like, it's not like the book was a storyboard for the show.
Right.
But so far, thematically, just a little bit off, but mostly just really in the spirit of it.
Okay.
So I can see this being, you know, like as successful as Invincible. Invincible was more shot for shot, Gus Van Sant kind of style.
Yeah. But it was able to shift stuff enough to where at some points I didn't know what was I knew the big thing that was going to happen in Invincible.
Right.
But there was some smaller stuff like Amber being introduced or a different character and certain storylines taken out. So I'm hoping, like, kind of, I don't know if you want this or not, to be close to the book, where you're like, oh, this is what I had in mind when I read it. Or do you want it to be different, to where you can be surprised and, you know, have new stuff to enjoy?
What I would be interested in is it telling the story well, in a sense that, let's imagine that what happened is one thing, mm-hmm. and the book is one way of telling that story, and the show is another way of telling that story. Right. That's all I would really care for, because first of all, Will Forte, like, hats off, he did great.
Interesting casting too.
Yeah, yeah, like, he's the guy that you picked for it, and you know, I do think this is a bit more linear from what I remember. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I should reread the book before I start talking about it, because it was
no spoilers,
because it came out, what, 2008 or 9, something like that.
It was a
while ago.
I don't know that, but I know I read it on my little digital library app, mm-hmm. Like 6 months ago or so.
Oh, okay.
One big change is that, well, I don't even know this yet. Never mind. I was going to say that Big Man is a hockey player in the book, and I don't know if that's going to be true for the character in the show.
Is it integral to the story?
No, but okay. What it might be is that he was a professional athlete.
Okay.
So I'll be interested to see if he's still a hockey player or something else.
Okay. In the book, does the boy Gus, does Gus not know what rain is until he's 7 years old?
No, that does not occur. Actually, the kid is way more well-spoken than Gus. Like, he was using correct grammar. Uh-huh. And one of the points is that Gus growing up in the woods by himself with his dad is that then when he meets people, he has kind of a hard time communicating with them because he's sort of, what's that?
Nell?
No, not so much Nell as he don't talk so good as we do, you know?
Folksy. Nice.
A bit folksy, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought they did a great job of showing the progression of the time, mm-hmm. With Pubba and Gus up in the woods there. We have no idea who Pubba is. Just a dude. We don't know what his background is. We don't know how he was able to rig up all that shit. Whether right. that's like expected, like he should have been able to.
Right. And he seemed to know where that sort of cabin was.
He definitely, I don't know if he was looking.
Like, it's obviously he didn't build it, because but it seemed like he knew it was there. And then he sort of
fixed it up
and cleaned it out and stuff.
Hatched it and stuff. And their whole system was just made a lot of sense, like how they had everything set up. It was believable that they could survive like that.
What's funny is we, back when Downtown Disney first opened, I was in custodial and I was on the team that opened it. And I worked in Downtown Disney for about a month before it opened to the public. And like break rooms and stuff weren't really number one priority to get everything situated for like during that month. Like, they're not going to bring us stuff in. So we actually found a giant spool,
like a cable spool.
Yeah. And we used that as a table.
As
a break table. Yeah. And we found like folding chairs somewhere.
That's funny.
And so when he started rolling the spool up to the house, I'm like, oh, he's going to use it as a table.
That's going to be a table.
Spool tables are great.
Sure.
They have it, the whole part in the middle. Also, if you happen to find a giant outdoor umbrella, they slide right in there and you can and have shade for your spool table. And we called it that, the spool table.
That's great. That's so, ingenuity.
Yeah. The Will Forte, it cracked me up because, A, it's Will Forte, which I, you know, we see him in this sort of post-apocalyptic world.
Yes.
And which I'm sure is one of the things that you gravitated towards when you read the book.
Yeah, for sure.
But then it reminded me of Last Man on Earth.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's not his first foray into surviving the end of the world.
His first forte into this world. And it made me want it to be the same character so bad. But I like that he wasn't like this sort of guy off the grid who does this normally or who prepared right. for it. I right. like that he was not good at it to begin with.
Yeah, he had to adapt and learn.
Yeah.
Right.
I really like that, because by the time Gus is alone, you now know that he's not fully equipped for everything.
Right.
Like he's trying to fix the pipes and he just sticks mud in it. Like,
right.
It just shows you like this kid wasn't taught like he's not like a Jedi or something where he got taught everything and he's good at everything. Like he has no idea what's going on. Yeah. I don't know how I knew this. But pretty much from the start, I was like, Will Forte's not going to make it through this episode. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I don't think it was because of the trailer or anything. I just felt like, oh, he's a mentor father figure. And this story's about this kid, so he's probably not going to make it. But the whole episode, I felt like it was like Dead Meat in Hot Shots, where the foreshadowing the foreshadowing was so strong. I'm like, I was already caught up before the show was unfolding the story, and I was like, oh my gosh, like this is hilarious. Like it feels like I know he's not gonna make it.
So you know what's gonna happen, so everything he says has more weight. Like,
right
now, remember, do this. It's like, oh, that's gonna come in handy when he dies later on.
right
That's funny.
So, but I really, really liked him, and I don't know why they picked him. It's such an odd choice to me, because he doesn't have any jokes. He plays it serious.
Nope. He plays it serious, but he did it. He did great. Like it was believable.
Yeah,
I was happy to see him.
I guess if you want to like just have someone that's like instantly likable, or you know,
that might be part of it.
Get someone like
that. I'm glad that he wasn't his character from Last Man on Earth, because I think that character is why I had to stop watching that show.
Oh, Tandy?
Yeah, it got to the point where he was just stepping on too many rakes for me. I thought, okay, I can't handle this.
I love that show.
But Matt Gourley once said that he loved that show because Tandy is basically Daffy Duck.
Right.
I'm not sure if I understand that comparison, but I think I get it. It's like he's causing his own problems because of his own... you know, arrogance and...
Right. Ryan, did you ever watch Last Man on Earth?
Would you like to take any bets before reveal my answer?
My guess is no.
It's Lord and Miller, dude. It's your buddies from Spider-Verse.
I love... Great movie.
And the Mitchells.
Which I haven't watched.
Saw the Mitchells as well, too.
Oh, you have time for that, but not a show about a boy deer.
Well, there's a certain through line between both of those things. That drove those choices, which is that it was something to watch with my child.
Yeah,
and she doesn't want to watch Last Man Standing.
Yeah,
you said
not Last Man Standing. Well, nobody wants to watch Last Man Standing. Last Man on Earth.
Last Man Standing on Earth. It's the crossover. you said boy deer, and I my hearing is terrible, and I thought you said war deer, which is like a legal term, and it took me like a full 2 seconds to be like, what the fuck? Oh, boy deer. Yeah, that makes sense.
What's the legal term? Can you give us some insight into your world?
Oh, it's when you, it's part of the jury selection process. Not something I do at my work. It's just a legal term that I've heard through other stuff.
I was picking up legal terms on the street. Got it.
Hey, you know how you do. You just you'll hustle on the quarter. Do some documents for cash. Hang out in front of the Kinko's.
Hey, man, I can notarize for you.
Do day labor. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, 15 bucks, man, right now.
Hey, what do you want notarized?
Yeah,
notarized.
The first one's for free.
I'll do this. Come on. Hey.
You're like holding the door open for him.
Hey, man.
Hey, you need that ordinary? All right,
$5 to show it, $10 to stamp it.
This show, up until like maybe the last like 10 minutes, is pretty family friendly.
Yeah.
I think for the most part.
Yeah, for
all
sure.
All right. And then I'll just shoo her from the room when I see that it's 10 till.
It's TV 14. Isn't she 14 yet?
Oh, God. What was she watching yesterday? Oh, she loves. First of all, she loved Gravity Falls, which was intense even for me. Like some of the Bill Cipher stuff is like. Uh-huh. Here, I'm going to present you with deer teeth. Like, that's the first time you rebuild. It's like, that's really disturbing. Like, nothing phases her at all in that realm. She doesn't like sitcom-level peril. Like, oh no, Sparkle Shine's going to become home for a surprise party too early, and we're not ready for her yet. That drives her crazy, and she has to leave the room. She doesn't like anything. She doesn't like sitcom peril. But man, what were we watching? We were watching Avengers for 20 minutes, and then she wanted to switch to Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, people are getting blown up, and it's like really intense. Like, nothing phases her. But then, like, oh no, Drax called the police. That's too scary for me.
That's funny. My kid's been using that as like a justification when we're like, oh, you know, don't, I don't want you to watch that. She's like, I watched the Avengers. Using that against me now.
And then she's very, very clear to like make a point when there's a swear to like look over me. It's like, I've got that in my toolbox now.
Now I know that's where. That. It's like, language.
It's like rubbing her palms together, twirling a mustache. So,
there was very few, except for the beginning part where the virus was taking hold, there were very few actors in this episode. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously it was almost like the bottle. We started the series with the bottle episode, which is a rare inverse way of doing it. But we had the dude that showed up pretending to be looking for Sarah, who ended up to be some sort of bad guy who marked the property with all those pink ribbons.
Yeah. Who is that dude?
We had... So
he looked familiar.
You know what? That's a good question. He was all the way at the end of the fence. And then Will Forte pointing, like, what, a broom at him?
Yeah. And it passed off as a gun. Well, I guess the guy wasn't who he said he was.
Yeah, but even so, it was too far away. Like, it looked like it. You had no reason to think it was a broom.
Right.
And then there was the two poachers and then Big Man. So casting-wise, like, not a lot, going on. It was a... You know, it was just about showing how Gus grew up. And I think the point is that later on we'll be able to know exactly what resources he has to deal with, which is very few.
Yeah.
Like, I hate this. His dad, his pubba, taught him like a deer, mostly. You know, he didn't teach him how to fight. He didn't teach him.
Right.
He taught him to duck and run and hide.
Mm-hmm.
Which is valid. It shows you, I think, a little bit more about the character of Pubba. He was not an aggressive dude. He was a run and hide kind of guy.
Yeah. Which he obviously did for 9 years.
9 years. And then Gus just can't get it through his head that his mom's not a deer.
Right.
I thought it seemed like poor Will Forte had a hard time clarifying that point.
So this is my question. You don't have to answer it.
Uh-huh.
Would it be possible that the mom has fully turned into a deer and that was her? Cause I'm watching this like with like Darmalars in mind and thinking of theories, and the Will Forte, the dad, was so insistent. That's not your mom. That's not your mom. And then my brain
it's
was like,
Aunt Becky.
What if she is?
almost like in a zombie sense where like the zombies at the door and you go, that's not my dad. Not anymore, mom. Like, that's not your mom anymore. She's more animal now than person.
Right. Like, I don't know. I don't fully understand because, I mean, you don't have to tell me, but obviously these hybrids are being born.
Right.
And I think that's kind of cool. But...
And you're wondering where it's going.
And like, what it has to do with the virus.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's kind of where we're at, right? And the show kind of questions that, like, which came first.
Right. Which came first, and so are like, they related?
I feel like it was implied or inferred, I don't know which one is which, that the mom had passed away from the virus. That's what my assumption was, and that maybe this virus
turned her into the deer.
Full animals.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know more than I do, but is that just... Am I way off the rails thinking that the mom transformed into a deer? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's I get where you're coming from. Just because you're not right doesn't mean that it wasn't like sort of a logical path to take, you know?
Right.
Because we see people be half animals. Well, what's wrong with going all the way? Like, who knows what's going to happen? But no, in this instance, that's not the case. It's just
I'm gonna try to figure this out here. So does the virus and the hybrids have to do with each other? I'm assuming.
There's a relation between the two of them, but they are not like the same thing. It's not the virus doesn't cause the hybrids and the hybrids don't cause the virus. I don't, not.
Someone said it in the show that it was Mother Nature trying to reclaim the earth. I think it was in the story with the fire and the smoke. So it could, I'm thinking maybe like shit, it's like The Happening. Where it may be trying to get rid of a virus, which is people.
Right.
But then you still need life on
population.
Earth. And so it's shifting the humans into more of an animal species.
Animals are nature, so it's like they're closer to nature.
Right.
Yeah, I think we'll see how that plays out. I think that's a good thought.
But yeah, how about The Happening? You ever see that one?
More like The Shittening.
Good one.
Thanks, dude.
I think we had an episode called The Crappening.
We did, yeah.
the one where the two helicopters crashed into each other, I thought of The Happening. I'm like,
what made these helicopters get like this?
That's Transformers. Oh no, that's Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes, yeah.
What? Why? That was happening. I might want to watch The Happening again. The only thing I remember is that a dude goes and lays down in front of a riding lawnmower.
That's very dramatic.
Right. Not to say that wouldn't fuck you up. Like, yeah, that would be rough. But it's like, for cinema, like, not a train, not.
Right. No.
It was more like one of those big giant ones, like with the
thing. Oh, like a thresher.
But yeah, like a thresher. Something like that, yeah.
Under Thresher.
And they touted it as M. Night's first rated R movie.
That's like, and remember all the swears and boobs.
And the camera and saying, this movie fucking sucks. Credits. That's how it got its R rating.
Well, you have to say it twice. So fuck this movie. It fucking sucks. You have to have more than one F on.
I see dead people's titties.
Twist. What a twist. My dick is unbreakable. So Big Man shows up and rescues him after falling for the old candy bar on a string trick.
But for him, it's not the old candy bar on a string trick.
It's the first time he's ever seen that trick. His dad never taught him all the old tricks.
So they don't have Bugs Bunny in this post-apocalyptic world?
They don't have
a
TV. His dad could have written a book. That was the thing, is his dad wrote in books. But he took old stories and just wrote them in books, but said it was by him?
By Pubba.
Like he was plagiarizing?
Yeah, this Will Forte character did serious
species.
He did bad things. It's my stutter. Copyright and intellectual property.
Yeah, yes. He violated IP law.
Yes.
That's cool. And one of the books he wrote was Huck Finn. Would you be able to remember enough of Huck Finn to write that?
Only the bad stuff.
They're on like 80% of it is just them on a raft.
Okay. All right, never mind then. Withdrawn.
Like, but the way the book, they weren't like novels. But I can see if I were to write like Huck Finn, it would be like, oh wait, is that Tom Sawyer? I was going to say the painting, the fence thing where he gets them to paint.
Yeah,
that's Tom Sawyer. That's Tom Sawyer.
So I don't remember.
But what was funny about it to me is that the books were like the Hungry Caterpillar level. You know, it was like, this is the story of Rain or whatever. And also Huck Finn. Like he had all these little kids books and the one novel that he attempted.
I mean, why is he not writing Star Wars?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. What would you appropriate? Like, if you were in a similar situation, you would do Star Wars?
It'd be easy. Remember Reign of Fire? That movie Reign of Fire where the kids put on, like, a school play and it's Star Wars?
They're acting in it. Yeah, that's
like
funny.
The best scene in that movie.
In a movie with dragons, that's the best scene.
And helicopters.
Fucking helicopters keep coming up.
Star Wars is the best of everything. I would do Star Wars. It would be super easy to do. And think how your kids would think you're a genius on the twist of Empire.
Right.
Yeah, except, like, I would tell, like, So there's this guy, and he's kind of whining. He's like, I don't have the Joseph Campbell in me to, like, really sell it, you know?
But you
and I haven't seen enough Kurosawa to plagiarize, like, so.
They're not novels. They're literally, like, little golden books. You'd be able to do a little golden books version of Star Wars, no problem.
For sure, because
I would probably, you know what I would probably do is I have enough of the book on record. You know, this is the story of Star Wars. You could read along with me in your book. Like, I know enough of that where I could just probably do that from memory. Well, no, and they did a pretty good job.
When you hear the Jungle Bird call like this.
For there was R2-D2-B like this. Let's begin now.
Did James Earl Jones narrate it? Because I thought he was in the room.
No, it was just...
Lance Reddick. He's no, that's Lance Reddick. This is really good.
Do that's it? Oh, okay. I wasn't even trying to do that. It was a little TK. George K.
Or Dr. Candle.
Dr. Yes, Robert that Kennedy. Guy.
Very, yeah, that.
Well, that's my tram voice.
Tram.
That's I perfected that by telling people what parking lot sections they parked into for a few years of my life.
Practice. It took practice.
Thumper, Pinocchio, Winnie the Pooh, and Robin Hood. This is our one and only stop for sections Thumper, Pinocchio, Winnie the Pooh, and Robin Hood.
That's Marvin Candle right there. That's my
tram voice.
That's a good voice.
I'm sorry I derailed the show.
No, I normally do.
But now you can hear me.
I wanted to ask Ralph if he were in that situation and you were writing Star Wars, would you edit it?
I mean,
like, would you have Luke and Leia kiss? Would you have?
I don't think my book would be that in depth.
Little golden book style we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just curious.
I'm not going to spend that much time writing.
Right. You have to plant the peas. You have to get the pipes going and all that.
And in no way was Palpatine her grandfather. The end.
So. Gus goes looking for the candy bars, and he gets caught by these poacher dudes, and they're going to do I don't know what to him. It didn't sound good. And Big Man shows up. Yeah, it might have been. Sorry, my bad. Big Man shows up and sort of rescues him, but also is going to take him himself, but then chooses not to, and then fixes his pipe. Yeah. And then fucking Gus... Here's the thing. Here's what I think we're going to know about Gus is he is kind of dumb. He's right. Like ignorant. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he doesn't even know how the world works in terms of the world that he grew up in, which is nothing compared to like whatever the real world is like now with the sickness and everything. Like him before, the example I'm going to give is when he was shooting Big Man with the slingshot. Mm-hmm. So by the third time you hit him in the head and it doesn't affect him, like, by then, are you starting to learn, like, this is not a tool that is useful for me? This is not something that can make people go away?
Right.
Or just keep hitting him with a slingshot?
The string with the candy bar was a big-ass thick string. Like, obviously, these hunters think these guys are dum-dums, the hybrids.
Well, they were surprised that Gus talked.
Right. Right.
And they also said he was the biggest one they saw.
Right. And they said that even what is big guy? What's his name?
Big Man.
Big Man. He, clearly has heard them talk before, but not so eloquently. I kind of,
yeah, he wasn't as surprised.
Yeah. I know we're going to find this out, but I feel like this hybrid flyer that's going around the flyer for the like hybrid sanctuary, I feel like it's a trap, and I'm afraid it's a trap, but my brain wants it to be a like hybrid utopia. But I'm not going to ask you about it, 'cause you probably clearly know what that is.
Right.
I'm just going on record saying, I think it's a trap. But I don't want it to be.
Yep, that makes sense. Because you know, watching the show, like with say, like I've tried watching it with like a clear eye, which is not that hard. Because like I said, I don't remember everything from a comic book like 6 months ago. The fact that the airplane was dropping flyers so much that there was like they were heavy on the ground, it doesn't seem like that's what you do when you're trying to rescue someone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't, that's not a rescue effort of flyers. That's a
trap effort. If anybody else gets that information, they're going to need to go to that place.
Right.
Like those hunters.
Right.
There's like thousands of those flyers. If a hunter grabs it, then they'll just go there and just,
that's where all the hybrids are probably. Right. They better go there.
So
it's like a hybrid buffet.
Yeah. the fact that Big Man said that they're going to keep him as a trophy on their wall. Mm-hmm. I thought was interesting. I think one of the covers of the comic book has that.
Yes.
This book came out, I believe, in 2008 when I worked at a comic book store. And so this was like brand new. It was like a big deal. My friend Anna, who worked there, loved the book. And I kind of remember sort of people liking the book, which was a Vertigo book. But yeah. I think now they're touting it as a DC book. I think on the actual print, they changed it into the DC. And then at the beginning of the show, it says based on the DC comic, or it says it in the trailer, which cracked me up because I'm like, this is like when you see Gus finally flee the camp and jump over the fence. I'm like, oh, it's like hipster Batman. 'Cause it's so like, it's so action packed, but it's such a, I don't want to say hipster, but there's something very.
Well, he's wearing a flannel.
Do they say where they are? Do we know where
they are? Yes, it's Yellowstone.
Oh, yeah. I knew that. Duh. Totally says that. Because I'm like, where are they in relation to Colorado?
Up. If I remember correctly.
Yes. So that's a really weird. It's going to be really interesting. Because Big Man clearly is a poacher. But or just something. Like a poacher with a heart of gold or something. Because he clearly, I feel like he was there to get Gus as well.
Mm-hmm. And then had like a change of heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there was a good economy in how they showed the competence of Big Man as a character. Because... You know, you see him beating off those two dudes.
Yeah.
Which that shows how competent.
This is on Netflix?
This is in the last 10 minutes, Ryan. This is the last 10 minutes.
That's the TV-14 part, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he also, you know, fixes the pipe and tells the kid about, you know, nitrogen in the soil and stuff. So it's I think they did a good job of very quickly showing you that this guy can handle himself.
Right.
After he's done beating up two guys, he can handle himself.
And beating off two guys, he can handle himself.
How did that happen? How did I get there? What did I do? My bad.
I definitely want to know more about Big Man.
Big Man fixing his pipe. But
I'm going to assume episode 2 is going to have Big Man hunting either a hybrid or just a regular deer. And maybe it'll make Gus rethink whether he should trust this guy or not. I feel like that's just storytelling. We're left with, at the end of this episode, a kid, a hybrid, and a hunter of some sort. Right. He's a hunter of some sort. So it's a crazy combination.
Yep.
But somehow we're going to have to come together.
I think it's kind of like a classic, it's obviously like a classic sort of duo. Who am I thinking of? I can imagine.
Six String Samurai?
Six String Samurai? I was actually thinking Six String Samurai.
But yeah, it's that like, sort of.
Get out of here, kid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that. But I liked the episode.
Yep.
It was good. I enjoyed it.
The pacing, I'm believing that pacing will not last. Right. I think that was the pacing for the origin, the flashback episode.
This is definitely all felt like a prologue.
Uh-huh.
Feels like the crux of the story is going to be around the state of the world.
Right.
And then these two characters together. And this
what happens when they go out?
Yeah, this is just how we got there. But as soon as he set foot outside of Yellowstone, I was like, oh, it's super post-apocalyptic. This is why Ben is totally into this. Which was, I was excited for too. Cause I didn't know. I just assumed it was going to be like a world where
hybrids live
together, but
No, and I think I remember from the beginning when they were something on the news about the virus, the numbers that they were quoting there were, worse than we experienced in real life recently, you know?
Right.
That's how you know it's like really going down.
Yeah.
So,
I'm looking to take out helicopters.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking forward to the next one and seeing where the whole thing goes. I do not know, and I wonder if you know this, is this 8 episodes supposed to be the whole book?
I have no idea.
Is it meant to be a series one? I guess we'll find out.
Until 2 days ago, I didn't know how many episodes there was.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll find out when we get to the 8th episode.
But I mean, if I don't know how long the book ran for. Do you know if it was, I don't think it was that, it didn't run for long time.
8 issues.
What's great about it was it didn't dick around. I mean, it told one story. It's not, that's fine with comic books. Comic books can do that. It's not like a TV show where it's like, wow, what a cool premise. And then they're like, now I'm going to throw 5 seasons at it.
And yeah, what do they call these? Like micro series?
Like a mega, it's 40 issues.
Okay.
Limited series.
So I can see them doing the 8. And maybe if it's a success, them creating new material to
There's
continue?
Definitely, from what I remember, like, you know what? I'm looking at Wikipedia here, and this is a really good point. They've got it broken down by the comics and then the story arc. Like, so according to them, the first 5 issues is one story arc, and the next 11, the next 6 is another story arc. And I read them in like collected volumes, which match up with those. Okay. So it's possible they could tell the first volume or the first 2. Mm-hmm. I think the whole thing is a lot to do in 8 issues, 8 episodes.
All right.
But I guess we'll see. I'm interested in, I want to find that out by watching it.
Yeah.
You know, got it. Rather than knowing ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I was gonna say you can go to Netflix and just see the description in 8, but yeah. When we decided to do this, I don't know if I mentioned this, but I was afraid to do it weekly because I didn't want to hold you up from watching the story, but I think,
I'm into it. I'd rather do it one at a time. Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully people can bear with us as we go along with this, and hopefully people don't spoil us, especially me as we go along.
Yeah.
Don't be like, Ralph, you're a dumb. Those flyers, of course, are a trap.
don't be.
I'm assuming, but I don't know. Yeah, guys, don't be a dick. All right.
That's all.
Subscribe and like, but don't be a dick.
smash that like button. Smash that dick.
Not what?
It's a mashup.
All right.
Well, I think that's it. I think that's a natural
ending. Do we know the name of the next episode?
Oh, that's a good thing. Episode, let me look that 2. Up.
Oh, we used to do that. Oh, I remember that.
Oh, yeah. They used to have the next week on Lost, and they would the next week on Lost, and then they would have bullshit red herrings in the next week on Lost, and then you could start figuring out that, oh, that's bullshit.
What are you doing here? And it's just because, she was making a souffle. Yeah, exactly.
So the name of the episode.
This isn't going to happen ever again. I mean, it's like tripping over your shoelaces. And he ties a double knots this time.
I saw a TikTok where someone showed that Marvel does the same thing with their trailers, but like intentional and worse, like editing things in that aren't there in the actual product to make you think like, oh, is this when this happens? No, then we just fucked that with you and put that there.
Well, the worst was the Predators. Remember that movie Predators with Adrian Brody? Mm-hmm. In the trailer ends with like a dozen Predator lasers on his body, and in the movie it's one.
Oh, that's funny. So the episode we just watched is called Out of the Deep Woods. Mm-hmm. And, oh, jeez. Episode 2. Sorry about all the dead people.
Oh, well, there you go. It could be. So, my theory or my guess is Big Man is walking through a field of dead people and he tells Gus, sorry about the dead people.
Sorry about all the dead people. It sounds like one of it could be taken from dialogue. sorry about all the dead people.
That one with all the dead people.
The one with the poachers. The one with Big Man beating off to you guys. So yeah, so that's Sweet Tooth episode one. I'm looking forward to episode two. Like I said, in terms of pacing, I would like to see maybe it pick up and have a more action episode, but it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to be like a thriller action show. Mm-mm. It could keep this pace the whole time and still tell a really cool story.
Yeah, that I'm all for more story. Unlike the Bad Batch, which fucking sucks, and I'm tired of it. It's all action, and it goes nowhere, and I have no idea what the point of that show is. Anyway, I love Sweet Tooth. I thought it was fantastic. I'm glad we're covering it, and I'm looking forward to next week. Until then, find everything at darmlarge.net, and that's where our Twitter is. Did you know that we have an Instagram?
I did not know.
Maybe?
That.
I've literally never posted anything to it.
Well, maybe we should.
Yeah, maybe I'll put this first episode up as our first post on Instagram. But yeah, everything's at Darmalars or darmalars.net. You'll find us there.
Thank you for listening. Thank you, Ryan and Ralph. That was a good discussion. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I look forward to next week.
Yeah.
Until then, I don't have anything.
Let's not the arrow sign off says left. Let's just say goodbye.
Let's just limp off. Just out. Yeah, Hasta I guess.
La vista. All right, bye. All right. Next week.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna stop eating.